taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I wish they would give us some money. Because I could be a good spokesperson for them. The Norton Healthcare, every time I go over there, I'm so impressed by how, maybe because I've had experiences with other places, like my trip to the hospital from hell in New York, that they are so courteous, and even when it's your own fault. Like, I went today for a test, and I had the wrong test in my calendar. One test is you don't have to do anything. You just show up. It's long, though, but you don't have to do anything. The other one, which is the one I actually was scheduled for today, is very short. It only takes, like, 20 minutes, but it's got a dye that they inject, and you're not allowed to eat for 4 hours before the test. So I had breakfast. So they said, well, we can do it, but it might not be the best. You know, the results might be compromised. So I said, no, that's fine. And the problem is we are a very unhealthy society, I guess. The parking lot's packed. They are swamped. All these healthcare places are swamped. And so I envisioned waiting like 2 months to get back in. But they said, listen, I can get you in one morning next week. So I said, wow, spectacular. So I'll be going back one morning next week, and I wanted to miss the show because it's such a short test, and I just will be smart enough to not eat breakfast like a dumbass like I did today. So wasted an hour. So there you go. But they're very nice, very, very nice people. So we'll go back next week and hopefully get a good report. It's just one of those follow-up things when you're a cancer patient that you have to do, and so hopefully they say, hey, you still don't have cancer. You're on a roll. So let's hope so. So that's what we'll do next year. So that's why I was out today. The update on the portal,
you missed it. John L. Davis committed to Arkansas.
University of Calipari. University of Calipari. Easy.
Who did that? What? I don't understand that.
John
joke.
L. Davis, the FAU guard. He was the one that had the weird.
Yeah, but why is it called University of Calipari?
Because John Calipari is there. And it's just the whole now, the UK joke where it's like, people aren't going to UK for UK. They went for Calipari. Now it's going to be the same thing with Arkansas.
Listen, nobody's got more respect for Cal than I do, but Mark Pope's doing okay. Every time I turn around, he's signed another guy. So he got the kid from Oklahoma State yesterday, right? Big kid?
Yeah.
Who's not really 6'11", by the way. Did you read the report?
No.
The guy who wrote the story said he's generously listed at 6'11". He's closer to 6'8". Not that it matters. If you can play, you can play. But, I mean, that's a great basketball tradition. Everybody does that.
Be honest. What's the – put this on the mixtape.
Three biggest lies. Size of the fish, age of an actress, height of a basketball player.
What's the most inches you added to a player in the program?
No, I never did that.
Never did?
No, I really didn't because it was,
I did. For the U of L program, I told everybody I was 6'1".
Oh, well, you took but, me I mean, myself,
I was
or...
on skates. Both. What's the most you ever lied about?
Was, you know, you get,
height.
You,
height. We're not talking about
say,
other things.
For you listeners out there, let me give you some bad news. You, as you get older, you really are, you're going to shrink. I didn't realize that. And so I was really, I was measured with a you know tape measure. I was just about a fraction of an eighth of an inch shorter than 6'1" when I was in college.
Right.
And I measured myself the other day. I don't even think I'm 6 feet anymore. I think I'm 5'11 and like 3/4. That makes me sad.
Yeah.
So I'm still telling people I'm 6 feet. That's as low as I'm going.
No, that's fine.
I'm
you
not
you
going
can round
below
up.
That.
I tell people I'm 5'11. I conceded myself because I am. I conceded myself to that. I thought I was 6. No, I thought I was going to be. I was on track. The trajectory as a baby. I was on track to be 6'3", and I would definitely be a former Division I athlete if I was 6'3". Pretty.
I've been wondering about that. If I had just the exact same skill set I had as a Division III guard,
right.
But I was 6'9", would I have been a Division I player? Could I have been like a wing, a 6'9" wing?
That, yeah, right.
You know, I don't know. It's interesting.
I think I don't know. I don't think I would have gone D1 anywhere, but I know I would have played for some junior teams. 6'3", that's height, and I could hit.
Get a lot of rebounds in hockey.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's the wrong How about the Knicks pissing one away last night, ladies and gentlemen?
Freaking Tyrese Maxey!
Lord.
I meant to get into this, hitting, spotting up from the logo.
You know what? When he, that's again foul or defend in that situation. You got to, first of all, I don't understand this. Let's have some fun, and then we'll go back to the portal stuff. You know, I really do think that there should be a guy who does, I'm sure somebody must have done it, but evidently not very effectively, a deep dive into end game situations for basketball, especially for the NBA, because how you should play at the end of games, I don't think anybody really, other than the debate about what should we foul or defend, really gets into it. For example, I got to go watch the video, but if the Knicks had any defenders inside the three-point line, if they had any defenders inside the three-point line, why? Why should they should have a five-man semicircle around the three-point line, and if you want to go inside the three-point line as the Sixers, go ahead, go. I don't care. Knock yourself out.
How many threes did he have? That's what I'm looking up. How many did Maxey have in overtime?
Oh, I don't know, but that wasn't an overtime. That was a regulation.
That sent it to overtime, right. But he hit more than one clutch one.
Oh, no, he made a bunch of shots, but that was a good – that was almost a 40-footer. And I tip your hat. I mean, it's a great shot, but that's where guys shoot from now.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's the difference. My mind is he gets the ball. It should have looked like a football game. There should have been three guys trying to tackle him before he got to the screen. I mean, because once he gets to the screen, anything can happen. But, I mean, the mindset should have been tackle him at the midcourt line. If you miss him there, if you miss a tackle there, the guy who's defending the screener should jump out and tackle him there. And if they're nervous about you're going to foul him in the act of shooting, jump out. Who cares if the guy slips the screen? Is he going to slip the screen and go inside and shoot a two? With my blessings. I mean, I don't understand what goes through guys' minds. I also have another thought, by the way.
So is that like basketball prevent defense, kind of?
Yes, you get beat because, first of all, they're afraid to foul. I get that. Secondly, in fairness, these guys are so spectacularly good and talented that you're afraid, quite honestly, he'll be 45 feet away, you'll foul him, and he'll make the shot. That'll
right.
be a four-point play.
Yeah, that's fair.
But as he's dribbling, I mean, it should have looked like, you know, the NFL today. As he comes around the corner and guys diving at his feet and trying to make a, you know, a shoestring tackle. You can't let him get the shot off. Him especially. Somebody else, all right, maybe you live with that, but not that guy. I mean, it's Rudy Gobert. Oh, no!
No, not this guy.
Not that blanking guy.
Not this guy.
So, they could wind up losing the series. I mean, because not only did they lose now, they had the home court. They still have home court advantage because they'll get game 7 at home if it gets that
right.
far. But game 7, will be all the pressure will be on them. And I cannot believe their guys won't be exhausted. Brunson played, I think, 50 minutes.
Yeah, let me pull that up.
Brunson, Ananobi, and Hart all played.
Wow.
How much did they play?
Hart played 53 minutes. Brunson, 51, and Ananobi, 50.
I mean.
Jeez.
That's going to be tough.
Maxey played 52, Harris played 49, and Embiid played 48.
That's just a regular game, though, when you have Thibodeau as your coach. He just keeps pushing you and pushing you.
that is fair.
Well, I'll say
that's
this.
That's a good
Again,
point.
For the people, you don't like something, you don't like it. it's your business. But 99 times out of 100, when I get a text from a guy who says, I don't like the NBA, when's the last game you watch? I don't watch the game. I mean,
right.
It's just.
No, they're defending.
It's just. They played their asses off last night. Some of those plays were just wild. 7 foot, 280 pound guys diving on the floor for loose balls. There was that one loose ball that ricocheted around, pinballed around. Guys, three guys diving for it, slapping for it, wound up going to Anunoby who scored. It was very interesting, very exciting. You're seeing the difference in the scores, you know, as opposed to the regular season. The regular season, 135 to 130. Not seeing that now.
Does anybody dive for more loose balls than Josh Hart for the Knicks?
No, he's
God bless him.
He's a gamer. But, I mean, listen, you can not like Embiid if you want to, but he's hurt and he's playing his brains out.
Yeah.
He really is.
I mean, if it wasn't for Dante DiVincenzo, he would have willed them to a game one win.
True. So they're playing very, very hard, and it's very, very entertaining. And now the Knicks have their hands full because on Thursday they go back to Philly. And that if they Philly wins that game seven in New York, when you are, you know, you were the two seed, all the pressure winds up being on you. Well, it was a magical night up till that point, too.
Oh, yeah.
See all the celebrities. Bill Bradley, 80-year-old Bill Bradley,
yeah,
standing in the front row clapping. It's like his alma mater. It's
everybody,
got like a college mindset.
Everybody was ready to rush
ready
the floor.
Ready to just, yay! Yeah. And then they just pissed it away. So, and, of course, Mom, once again, recognizing that we're on the air, says, let me give him a call.
So, it always makes me nervous. I hope like it's not like an emergency.
She wants to find out how the test went. So,
oh, okay.
Listen to the show. That's my advice to you. If you listen to the show, you'll know everything that's going on in our lives. So what a bad loss. Cleveland, very exciting win over Orlando, 104-103. The Donovan Mitchells take care of business and go up 3-2 now, and they'll have game seven at home if it gets that far. And the Bucks come back and handle the Pacers with, like, no players. Greg Popovich special where you win without any of your players. 115-92. Now Indiana better take care of business in game six at home or they could wind up going down.
I really want that to be.
You know, Knicks and Indy, we can go up the road and watch that.
Knicks and Pacers, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Sweeney could hook me up with tickets.
The Knicks are going to have a hard time getting. I'm telling you, they're far from done, Philly. And Maxey. You know, I keep beating myself up because that's what I do. I'm self-deprecating or try to be. About missing on Trae Young. Missed on Trae Young, didn't know he was going to be a great NBA player. I said they just, in college, they just let him run hog-ass wild. There was that's kind of what you had to do, and he delivered. I said, not going to let him do that in the NBA, and they do, and he's good, and he's been great. But two guys I was dead right about, and U of L fans, you get mad if you want to, but when I saw Booker, I said, that kid's – and he wasn't even starting for UK.
Yeah.
And I said, that kid is going to be a stud in the NBA, and he is. And then the game, the Champions Classic game,
I was literally about to bring there and said,
when Maxey is a baller, that dude. And those two guys have absolutely delivered. They really have. They've been really good at the next level. Even though he broke my Knicks heart last night. So we'll see what happens going on from there. By the way, I also had a new theory. Why college – this is how my mind works. You know, I have a whole bunch of offbeat, and I'm not mock. I'm not doing it to be cute. I think this is how I perceive things. Like my thought about, you know, fouling or defending, that's definitely a philosophy. But other things like the ends of games, when it's your advantage if you're the defensive team and you step in the lane and make the guy make the free throw rather than miss it. If you know, that's a strategy I used a couple of times in games. And I could explain the circumstances behind it, but if you step in the lane until the guy makes it, you preclude them having the chance to miss it and get the rebound. Or if you're behind, and this is the big thing, is if you make sure he makes it, you can take the ball out of bounds on the baseline and the clock won't start till you throw it up to the mid-court line or past the mid-court line. You got a much better chance to get a shot off.
Yeah.
If he misses it, and you got no timeouts left, you're kind of screwed. You got a rebound 89 feet from the basket. You're very much more likely to throw it, you know, UK fans, but a Christian Laettner play, you're much more likely to score that way. So
that's
a strategy. You know, and I've not seen anybody else do it, but I don't know. But you also have to know where the arrow is, because if you step in and they step in, you step in deliberately and they step in deliberately, it goes to the arrow.
It's a jump ball.
It'll be the alternate possession. They might get it. And so then you're screwed. But if you have the arrow, definitely a good strategy play. Well, here's another thing that dawned on me. In college, you should never try to win the opening tip. What really? Do they do in football? What do they do in football if defer. They win the toss? They defer. Why? Because you can get two possessions in a row. Right. You get the possession to end the first half right. and start the second half. Well, basketball's the same thing. In the NBA, they try and win the tip for one reason, because the way they set it up, you get the ball to start the first – you have the ball. You got the ball. You won the tip the first quarter. And then you get it to start the fourth quarter. The other team gets it the second and third quarter. So you could get it to start the fourth quarter, which, you know, in a tight game,
yeah,
extra
right.
position might be significant. Well, if you think about it, in basketball, you preclude yourself. There's no way you can have back-to-back possessions if you win the opening tip. Because if you win the opening tip, and let's say you have the last possession of the first half, well, they get the ball to start the second half.
Right.
And if they have the last possession of the first half, they get it to start the second half, two possessions in a row.
Right.
If you lose the tip, fine. You haven't lost anything. They get the ball first. Who cares? They get it first, you get it. Back and forth, half ends. If you get the last possession of the first half, you have a chance to have two possessions in a row. They never do. They can't have two possessions in a row. Because if they have the last possession of the first half, you get it to start the second half.
Right.
So you should never try and win the opening tip.
Well, unless...
Well, if there's jump balls along the way.
Yeah.
Well, that could be the case. But that's why they should go to quarters.
I agree with that.
They should go to quarters and go from there. Because the quarters, then the reason that's significant is the NBA still plays with jump balls.
Right.
So, you know, once you do that, you know, we win the tip, you're getting the ball to start the second quarter, you're getting the ball to start the third quarter, I get it to start the fourth quarter. And along the way, they go to jump balls. I'm not so sure college shouldn't do that. They're okay. One of the reasons that they got away from it is because the officials had a hard time making a fair toss. The early 70s, late mid 70s to early 80s, the players got so big and so strong and so could jump so high, the officials were still 5'10", 5'9".
Yeah, right. They couldn't throw it up there, right.
And plus, to be honest with you, they're a little bit afraid.
Yeah.
Because there were a whole bunch of stories where the guy threw the ball up and then the guy who jumped
landed on him.
No, hit him in the face. I mean, you're offhand, you're going to tip it and you're not doing it on purpose, but you send your other hand off to the side and you hit the guy right in the puss.
Yeah.
And they don't like that. So, like, no, we don't want. Like, did you know in the old days in hockey, this is Tulio Mike, they used to have to put the puck between the two guys, the guy's sticks?
Oh, my God.
That's still what they do in lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
The lacrosse sticks, they turn them back to each other, and the guy puts it in the middle. But in hockey, they would do the same thing.
That is just a broken something waiting to happen.
We ain't doing that anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We're dropping that bad boy.
The refs union had a field day with that.
Yeah. So I still don't completely understand, by the way, how the face-off is supposed to work. Because I watch them, and my thought is, don't they both have to have their sticks on the ice when the guy drops it? Isn't that what the theory is?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't look that way to me. It looks like there's always a guy, he's kind of leaning forward, drifting in, and he's still got the stick a few inches off the ice. Then the guy just throws it down, and then they go. I thought he was supposed to have to put it on the ice. Because then he throws him out if he does that, which I also like. I love when they throw the guy out of the circle. I love that. It's like, you're a bad boy. And the guy's all pissed off.
I love that. It drives me nuts.
No, I hate it and love it. I hate it.
It's not about you, Stripes.
Drop the damn
That's
thing
That's what
and
I'm
let's
saying.
Play.
It's not about you.
But I love the fact that they're like naughty boys. This is a game where they're beating the crap out of each other, and they're wrestling and fighting and punching. But you didn't put your stick down. Now get the hell out! And then the guy's always pissed off, and he rolls his eyes, and he skates out.
Sometimes they use that as strategy. They did in overtime. Sidney Crosby got intentionally tossed out of the faceoff.
Why?
So he could line up, and it would be a mismatch on the wing.
Why didn't he line up on the wing to begin with?
Because he noticed it, like while he was lining up, also by doing that, like it kind of caught them off guard. Like, if he lines up that way, then they're prepared for it.
Okay.
But by, you know, getting tossed out and making it look organic, it kind of caught them on their heels. And it caused a mismatch. He stepped forward. They won. They pushed the puck up, won it to him, and he went 2-on-1 because it's overtime. It's 3-on-3. He went in, they went 2-on-1, and they scored. A little bit of a 1,000 IQ hockey there.
Nice.
It
is fun when you watch. Like, the Rangers scored on a power play the other day, the bread man, what a beautiful, it was a
Artemi Panarin.
You don't realize how many set plays there are in hockey. There really are. And he took it. They call him when he dances. He gets the puck on the side and he's sliding his feet, you know, because he's so good and you don't know which way he's going. Is he going to the middle? He's going down. So he dragged the puck a little bit down the side and then threw it back. They were on the power play. Threw it back to the point. And as soon as he threw it back to the point, it was like a basketball play. He went what would be along the baseline. Mm-hmm. He went behind the net, basically using the net as a screen so
right.
nobody could follow him. Got to the other side. It went bing, bing. They found him on the other side and one-timed it and put it in the top shelf up where Mama Cooks keeps the Fig Newtons. And the Rangers had a goal. That was pretty damned entertaining. Very fun.
Jamie pointed out there's this play that occasionally they'll do. They'll dump it, and they're so good. They basically dump it and chase it, but they hit this part of right behind the net, and it trickles up, and you get the puck on the short side.
Oh, it does.
And you get shot.
They used to be more arenas you could do that because they were quirky.
Yeah.
Like they weren't all uniform size.
Right.
The Boston Garden was small, and the angles of the boards were more severe. And so certain places you deliberately could throw it, and you'd get these funky bounces.
That's how it was at Alpine. Alpine, like if it was terrible, like, you know, if you got a guy coming in on you and you're just trying to clear the puck, you eat the check, throw it around the boards, and it would kick out
right,
a perfect pass to the high slot.
Yeah, nice.
But then, you know, what if you knew it was there? There were a couple times, like, you know, in the offensive zone, you got two guys coming in on you, and you're like, there's a guy in the high slot. And, like, it worked out in our favor a few times. But
that's how basketball used to be. My dad told me, I mean, he played in a league, to give you an idea, God rest his soul. He would be 110 years old.
Really?
He was born in 1914. 110. And so, give you an idea how far back it goes, he played in the league that was the forerunner to the NBA. And what's hilarious to me is, I mean, the venues, the rules, it was such a formative time that, like, you know why basketball players are called cagers? Because some of the early courts had chicken wire all the way around the court. The players played in a cage.
Oh, wow.
And there's all sorts of theories as to why, to keep the fans from jumping over and getting involved and turning it into a brawl. Some places the cage was like hockey. It was inbounds.
Wow.
You could make a pass off the cage.
That's wild.
My father played amateur ball where you were allowed to dribble like now. You had to dribble with one hand.
Mm-hmm.
The pros at that time, you had to dribble with two hands.
Oh, that had to be the weirdest thing ever.
So he spent the whole summer learning how to dribble with two hands because he'd never done it before. And then they changed the rules so everybody had to dribble with one hand. So they went back to amateur ball. So there was that. And but the point about the rinks was, it was the same thing in basketball. They played in some places that were basement arenas. Mm-hmm. When I say the NBA, forerunner of the NBA, we're talking about places like the big attraction was, it was a game and a dance. There was I'm not kidding. It answered the game. It was a dance. My mother would go all the time, and she wouldn't even like watch. She'd be sitting with her girlfriends, and she's a little bit like Jeanette. She would go, and then the game would end, and she was there for the dance. She wanted to dance with her husband. He'd say, "So, did you see the play I made?" She was like,
"Sure."
You know, "Man, did you see the part where my head burst into flames?" I missed that. I was talking with Marie. Yeah, so, but there would be like some of the arenas, some of the places they played. There were actually support beams on the court.
Oh, my God. So you could talk about...
Oh, they ran plays.
I was going to say, you could use
a
screen.
It was a permanent screen. You ran a guy... Yeah, that guy never lost the screen.
No.
I mean, they did that. They were dead. When they even got to a much bigger stage, when much more recent, they would play like at Boston Garden and Madison Square Garden, and they, you know, would like it is now. There was an ice surface, and then they had the temporary court they would put on, the portable court.
Right.
And there was... The players would know. There were like two or three, you know, their little boards, their little squares that interlock.
Right.
There were two or three of them that were like dead. So if you dribbled and it hit it, the ball would only come up to like your ankle. So they would try and push the guy there, and he'd be dribbling.
And then
they'd just wait. He'd bounce it, he'd run, and the ball would still be down on the floor, and they'd pick it up and go down the other end. Yeah, wild. Very, very wild. Very different time than it is now, no question about that.
That's hilarious.
Anyway. I'm of two minds of this derby. We're going to talk about the derby here. It's 1:30. What are we doing? We're having Eric now?
Crawford is now.
And then when is Dick Girardi?
Dick Girardi is at 2.
Okay. I'm going to set this up because I'm going to ask Eric about it. I can convince myself either way on this race. Not, you know, not as a guy who's a true handicapper, air quotes. But I could since they've gone to the point system, the favorites have done very well. So I can convince myself that the two favorites are appreciably the best horses in the field.
Right.
And if that's the case, they should do very, very well. So I can convince myself, look, don't try and be too clever. Don't be clever at the expense of being smart. You know, the numbers say what they are. It's not, we don't think, a great field You know, that's not how people are talking about it. But again, we do that all the time. All right, well, I'll come back to that because now I'm going to talk myself out of it. So talk myself into it. It's not a great field. The point system has made it so that the horses that have emerged as the favorites truly are the best horses. So don't be clever at the expense of being smart. If you're going to bet, you better incorporate those guys because they're the best horses. Now I'll talk myself out of it, which is to say that it is not a great field, but we don't really know who's – that's the whole thing. Every year we talk about horses and we don't really know, and then the horse wins the Derby. Oh, this guy could win the Triple Crown. He's great. Right. So I don't know. Maybe this is one of those kinds of fields. Maybe these two look the best only because they're the best of a quasi-mediocre lot. And we don't know how the race is going to shape up. You've got a whole bunch of horses that evidently will be willing to go to the lead. So I don't know if you can beat one of the speed horses and go, I don't even want to say wire to wire, but to hold that off for the whole way might be very, very difficult. I mean, you got, I'm trying to look at the notes that we made from talking to people yesterday, but I could talk myself out of either of the two favorites for that reason. If Fierceness is one of those speed horses who is the favorite right now, 5-2, but there's a whole bunch of other speed horses up there. That's a mile and a quarter. These horses haven't run this distance. That's going to be challenging, and now he's getting pushed from all over the place. Okay, he may not be able to do it. Well, then you say, okay, well, then let's look at closers. Well, you got Sierra Leone. These horses have never seen a 20-horse race.
Right.
Is he going to be able to go run like he's playing, you know, the Atari racing game from the 1970s, right, where he's just going to be going around guys? I don't know. Maybe.
Post position will play a lot into
maybe
that.
He will, but, that's true, and he does not have a great post position. He's coming out of the two-hole, and the two-hole hasn't won the Derby since 1978. So I could talk myself into it, that it's going to be a very chalky race, or I could talk myself out of it and say, no, I mean, Sierra Leone's got to have a whole bunch of things go his way if he's going to make a late run with all these horses in front of him. And Fierceness is going to have his hands full trying to go to the front with a bunch of other horses who seem capable of at least going up to the front early with him. And if he does, you got to be a really special horse to essentially kind of wire the field. So, you know, I've always liked Stalkers. My priority, I love closers just from a exciting standpoint.
Yeah, same.
But in the Derby, really, the choice would be Stalkers first, closers second, then horses that want to go to the front, to me, are the last choice, because you ain't doing that. I mean, remember the year, what was it, the horse from Philly, Smarty Jones.
Yeah.
And they did, and their ownership, their connections were all pissed off. Because you remember, it wasn't here, it was in the Belmont.
Right.
He went to the front, kind of, and they just pushed him. They all, like, took turns pushing him. And it was like, you're just trying to keep him from winning. You weren't trying to win the race yourself.
Which, yeah, right.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it was true. It was. Now, that's a different race. That's a mile and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But still, this is a long race for horses in this generation. A mile and a quarter. Some of these horses will never run this distance again.
What's Preakness?
Preakness is a mile and 3/16.
I was going to say, I know it's the shortest.
3/16, I think. Yeah. Mile and 3/16 or 5/16? No, 5/16 would be longer than this. So it's 3/16. Yeah. I guess 4/16 would be a quarter. So
right.
It's the shortest of the
three. Yeah, no, I knew that.
I did know that.
It's
a mile and 3/16.
How long is the Oaks? Do you know? Somebody was at the lovely Australian table was asking
mile
me about
and an eighth?
It.
Is it a mile and an eighth? Listeners?
I didn't think it was long. I don't think it's longer than the Derby, right?
No, it's definitely not longer than the Derby, but so. I don't know if it's as long as the Derby. I think it's a mile and an eighth, but I'd...
Yes. Do a break then Crawford.
Break then Crawford.
While you're looking that up, I just want to say we're adding a new contender to the coffee listing, or the coffee contest that we had yesterday. By the way, everyone was very impressed that you were able to drink three cups of coffee and not go to the bathroom.
I don't know why that's such a... I mean, I do understand why. I was just at the hospital getting ready to do this test, and as I came out, I picked up a soft drink, and so I was in the gift shop. And I don't know how the topic came up, but she was shaking a little bit, I noticed. And she said, I just can't drink coffee anymore. I said, really? She said, yeah, look at me. I mean, it was not like she looked like she had Parkinson's, but it was noticeable.
Yeah.
And she said, it's just, I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, I don't know why, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to affect me. She said, really? I said, yeah. I mean, I had three cups in like an hour and a half yesterday. And, she said, if I have a chocolate bar after 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll be up all night. I said, whoa.
Yeah, it affects me inconsistently.
Oh, I said, I don't know what it is. It just doesn't. And it's maybe because I, like I said, we used to have these big parties at my mother and father's house, and they had the big 40-cup, you know, percolator thing.
Right.
And late at night, and there was always coffee left in there. I would have one, and I liked it. I would put milk and sugar in it. And
I have some
and
people that...
And they, then I'd go to bed.
Yeah.
And it never fazed me.
I've heard of people, like, they need a cup of coffee to go to sleep.
I don't understand. So, but I also understand, like everything else in life, too much of anything is not a good thing. And so maybe that's
moderation.
Too much coffee. But I was doing it for a contest yesterday. So today we've got Wawa.
I'm on my third cup. And
this is Wawa's decaf.
It is? Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. All right, good. Because I don't need any more caffeine.
Wawa is a convenience store basically based out of Philly.
Yeah.
And it's very, very good.
This is good coffee. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Tim Hortons.
Wawa coffees. If we had our contest where we didn't have so many conditions... Wawa coffee, Tim Hortons coffee, Dunkin' Donuts coffee. These are some of my favorites. Wawa coffee is outstanding.
This reminds me of Tim Hortons, and I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be overly sophisticated because I don't. I've learned enough like that I can pick out a note or two with bourbon or with wine. Certainly not a sommelier or you know a bourbon chip expert or anything like that. But I can pick out a thing or two. I don't know anything about coffee. Like, but I would say that this kind of tastes like a cross between the Maxwell House and the Dunkin' yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
And I like it. I like it.
Me too. Yesterday, our score was 1-1A, Maxwell House and Dunkin', because Dunkin' tasted coffeeier. Maxwell House was gentler, but sometimes you don't want a real strong taste.
Yeah, right.
Just nice, easy. So, and unfortunately, Folgers, while not bad, was like water. It was very... Very, it finished third of those three.
Right.
This one, that's a good choice. I mean, this might be why it might be my favorite, because it's a little coffeeier than Maxwell House, but it's not as coffee. And I love Dunkin' too. But
yeah, no, Dunkin's
good. It's a half a notch less coffee.
Yeah.
And that's good sometimes. You just.
Especially for, you know, just an easy drinking.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll take a break. Eric Crawford will join us.
First Wawa ever. This is, I like
you never
it.
Had Wawa?
Never. I don't think I've ever had Wawa.
We lived in Pennsylvania when I coached at Kutztown, and there was a Wawa right around the corner, and they also used to have a spectacular chocolate cake.
Really?
I don't know who baked it for them, but it was amazing. Yeah,
I'm going to put
that's very good.
I'm going to
Wawa
put
if it were bigger would take its place
among
Buc-ee's,
the greats
with Buc-ee's. It's that good.
Wow.
I mean, in terms of the quality of the stuff they sell there, it's just it's literally I don't know, a tenth the size of Buc-ee's. I mean, Buc-ee's is,
right. Buc-ee's is huge.
It's Yankee Stadium compared to the St. X football field.
Right.
I mean, you know, St. X football field is very nice, but it's not seating 60,000 people.
Right.
Buc-ee's is amazing.
If I were to put up do you think this would be a good poll? Do you think it has enough?
What? I don't know. It's hard for me to say since you haven't told me what it is yet.
Best coffee. Starbucks, Dunkin', Wawa, Tim Hortons.
I would think that would have some legs.
Is there somebody that should be ahead of those guys? Because, I mean, let's be honest. It's going to probably devolve into a two-horse race of Starbucks and
Dunkin'.
And Dunkin'. But, I mean, if you know, I feel like there's the
people,
if
Wawa
you know,
is too
you know.
Regional. So that'll have. But they're so good, they deserve to be
saying,
on there. And same with Tim Hortons.
They're known for coffee.
Tim Hortons will get the Canada vote. So, yeah, that'd be a good poll.
I've done a poll similar to this before. I think I'm going to do it again now that I've had Wawa.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back, and Eric Crawford will join us. ESPN 680 1057.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
I think that might be more logistically feasible.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Life is full. Life must be lived forward, but can only be understood backward, said Soren Kierkegaard, the former outstanding third baseman for the Chicago Cubs.
Quite the philosopher.
I'm a coffee snob. Ooh, not me, Texter. And he says, come on, mouse. Usually buy from small roasters, like the little tiny men.
A bunch of jockeys?
Dunkin' may be my favorite Starbucks. I don't like Starbucks straight coffee. Way too bitter. Thank you, and you're a coffee snob. That's what I've said. The first time I went to Starbucks, I was struck by what's all the fuss. This is so bitter. And I still think it's a little too bitter. I don't know why, if I have Americano, it doesn't taste as bitter to me. It doesn't make any sense, but it does seemingly taste better. So,
what is Americano? Is that espresso?
Americano's espresso and coffee and, yeah,
milk?
That's it. No, then you...
No, it's just espresso and coffee,
yeah,
right?
And then you dress it how you want. And I dress it with milk and sugar, and it seems okay. Let's see. Knicks were up 3 in regulation with 15 seconds remaining, chose not to foul, and Maxey, yes, I know, got a foul. That's what I just said. I'm sorry, I was responding to us making that very point. I don't know what that even means. Maxey pulled a Caitlin Clark. Yeah, that's they were and a Steph Curry, and they're all shooting out there. I misunderstood, thought you said the last hour that Caron Davis had committed to Arkansas.
They are actually cousins for whatever it's worth.
Are they really? I didn't know that. I did not know that.
All right. Let's see what else we've got here. We got Eric on the line. I'm sorry. I didn't even know he was there already. Let's bring him in. Eric Crawford, how are you today on this Wednesday of Derby Week? What's going on?
Not much. Just hanging out here at the track,
getting ready
to head out.
Nice.
And, that's about it. I'm at 3 of the 4 ingoing Kentucky Sports Hall of Famers who were here for the announcement, and that was cool. So, which guys I'd already met, but met
who,
again.
Who won? Who got in this year?
This year, Tony Delk, former Kentucky great.
Right.
Oscar Combs, who really created a whole industry.
Yep.
With the Cat's Paws magazine.
Yes, he did.
Teddy Bridgewater, former
Louisville
quarterback who was not able to be here.
Oh.
And Roy Pickerel, who is a longtime sports information director at Kentucky Wesleyan, really legendary guy around the state, has helped with Kenny Klein. He and Kenny Klein are now the only two sports information guys in the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame. So,
deservedly so. Although he used to bust my chops mightily when he was at Wesleyan.
Oh, yeah.
And I was at Bellarmine.
Yeah, well, you were the enemy. You were one of the enemies.
He's a world-class chop buster. But he did a great job. He absolutely did do a great job. No question.
Yeah, really labored tirelessly for them and busted the chops of coaches. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, we all have our thing. We all have our niche, and his was, Buster, comma chop. That's how you'd see it.
That's a good class.
Yeah, so. Very, very good indeed. How are you feeling about the race? I said I can convince myself on both sides. I can say it's, the point system has made it so that the favorites had done very well. These two horses are generally regarded as the best in the field. And so why would you think that it's going to be any different? And then I look at it the other way and say, well, there's a lot of speed in the race. It's going to be really hard for Fierceness to go near the front and stay there. And with all the horses in and nobody's run this distance before in a 20-horse field, which they'll never see again, can a closer like Sierra Leone get it done so I can talk myself into or out of it? Which is more likely, a goofy derby or a chalky derby?
I really, who knows what's more likely? I can't. I don't know. I just know. I feel like when I'm trying to pick one, if there's one that's better than all the rest, then I'm going to pick him, and then he's just going to have to lose it, which they often do. I don't know, but I picked the right horse. It's not that I was wrong. It's that the wrong horse won. I always say that. But Fierceness has the ability, I think, to run away from these guys. If he starts well, gets in a good position, he's going to go and, he's going to run. And then it'll just be, is Sierra Leone good enough to chase him down or somebody else? But that's not the way horse races are always run. And like you said, 20-horse field, he's out there in spot 16. He's going to have to hustle himself maybe to get to position. But I still like where he is, and I think I like where he's going to be. And I think it's all depending on the start, where he has struggled. He's gotten pinched at the start, or he didn't get the best start out of the gate. But if he gets away clean and gets where he wants to go, I don't think they're going to beat him. So then you start to look, well, what else can happen? Maybe it rains. Maybe, like you said, it's too hot of a pace up front. But I just don't see. I haven't seen anybody. To me, Fierceness's second best race of his career is still a lot better from a speed figure standpoint than anybody else's best race in this.
No, that's so why I said, you're of the belief that the numbers don't lie, as that show used to stand to you.
So I would like to see that. I would love to see, him trying to hang on at the end and see early on get clear to try and run them down. And I think that would be a great finish. So, but the chance of that happening, 20%. Something else is going to happen. We know that. So good luck picking, you know, who's the best. And that's where you get into trouble and where I'm like, forget it. I'm putting $2 on every horse and hoping a long shot.
That's
which I did with the Red Strike Derby and made like $12. So there you go.
Very nice. Good for you. Well, I wish you well. Hey, how far, how long is the Oaks? What's the distance? Is it a mile and an eighth?
I believe it's a mile and an eighth. Yeah.
We were asking that earlier, and I mile and an eighth. Distracted myself when I went to go look it up.
And it's been a better horse race a lot of years. It hasn't been recent, the last couple. But, I mean, they, you know, look at some of these Oaks winners that we've had. Rachel Alexandra and some of those others were just phenomenal. And then some of these, you know, fillies out here look like they could run the Derby, and they could have at one time before the point system.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good point. One of the things, one of the what's the word? I'm having trouble with the words. One of the, you know, when something happens bad and
disasters.
No. Omen, portent. I don't know. One of the, I can't think of words today either. I'm still struggling.
What's going on with you? I'm sorry. I'm trying to help.
I couldn't come up with the word collaboration yesterday. That's the word we were looking for. These two people collaborating.
Oh, right.
Couldn't go up with that. One of the byproducts, that's not really the word I'm looking for, of the new point system is that there won't be fillies in the race. That's kind of a shame in a way.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun when they would run and be able to win. And,
happenstance. Yeah, so, that's the word I'm looking for.
Okay. No, I'll get it like about 6 o'clock today, and I'll call Eric at
home. No. Oh, I almost had it. I almost had it.
No. Anyway, are you a coffee drinker?
Detriment. No.
Yeah, but I'm not like a fancy coffee drinker. I just drink, you know, if I go in to order coffee, I just say, give me a coffee.
Yeah, but do you have, well, some, like, we're debating. I didn't realize this is a passionate thing with people. Like, do you have a brand? Like, Starbucks is too bitter for me. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan.
Well, it is. I still drink it. I drink their Veranda, which is their light roast, which is, to me, just normal coffee.
Oh, okay.
I like. Right. I always go in and get the Veranda. So, yes, that is my base coffee. It's Starbucks Veranda. But I can drink McDonald's coffee and be fine.
Coffee is actually not bad. Speaking,
yeah, it's actually pretty good. Yeah, when you get right down to it, in a pinch, it's pretty good. I don't have any famous. Look up some of, because I don't want to tell it because I'll get it wrong. But look up the history of Americano, because I think that was created like maybe in France.
Really?
I'm totally wrong.
But that's my favorite one. At
Americans in the world, well, America, for like American GIs who thought the coffee was too strong, they kind of.
That makes sense, and that's probably why I like it.
But look it up.
I'm going to now.
I may be wrong.
No, because the texture, yeah. I thought it was Americano was espresso and coffee. It's not. Espresso and coffee is called a red eye. Americano is espresso and hot water, so that's beautiful because the hot water serves to dilute it, and that's why I like it. So, and that's probably what they did for the GIs. Eric Crawford bringing it strong to the table on a We Want to Know Wednesday. That was good.
Yeah, but no, I'm not like an aficionado.
Hey, did you see the coaches? Weren't they supposed to be out there today, the Louisville coaches?
They were out there. I saw them. I got to shake hands with Pat Kelsey, who I've not spoken to or met or anything in his time here yet. He won't remember me. I was just some guy that wouldn't shake his hand. So, we did get him. We got him on the morning show. We talked. So the coaches were out here. I talked to Jeff Walls a good bit. Got to speak to Jeff Brom. Talked to Sky Davenport a long time. So I'm all caught up. Not all caught up, but I'm caught up on my basketball now from the morning.
How's Scotty going to – I mean, they are not a team that lures a lot of people in the portal because they don't have tons of NIL
money. No, they haven't lost a ton up to now. I think they lost that. I'm not sure, you'll have to check, but I think they've lost one or two in the last week.
Yeah, so they have.
That's a painful thing when that happens because, you know, they're trying to do it a different way, but – It's no longer, you know, it's just a straight transaction now. It's an employee relationship, and that's what it is.
Well, that's why I think the point that underscored that is the kid that Kentucky just got, the player that they just got from Oklahoma State. There was a story came out today that said that he committed without visiting the school. And I said, that's because he got his NIL offer emailed to him. He was like,
I mean, that used to happen. I mean, that happened. I think Tyquan Dean, who's not he's Tyquan Pinero now, but he signed with Louisville without ever seeing the school, but he was coming to play for Rick Pitino.
Exactly.
Right? School wasn't going where Rick Pitino was. And you get that with guys. You get a John Calipari's, you know. You don't have to bring him to Fayetteville, which is a good thing sometimes. But you know, they want to play for him. So used to be that all the time, but now it's the deal.
Well, so we're at the top of the hour, so we are going to just formalize your pick is fierceness.
I'm going with fierceness, yeah. Okay. I'm going with fierceness. Who needs to make money, right? You know? Although he might be, by the time it goes off, he might not be the favorite. Sierra Leone, at one point yesterday, was 6-5, and fierceness was 6-1. But that is now since reverted, and fierceness is, in fact, still the favorite right now.
Well, we will see how it plays out, and we're going to take a top-of-the-hour break. Then we're going to come back and tell you that there's been another player who's committed to Kentucky, and we'll tell you who that is.
Okay.
On the other side. So, thanks, buddy. Happy Derby to you.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Eric Crawford with us here. Not going to tell you who it is yet because that's called the tease. I can tell you that I had one of his games, though, this year. So I'm getting the notebook out right now to see how he played. We'll tell you about it on the other side. ESPN 680-1057.